Good morning. My name's Tristan. You can call me Ken. Any compliments on the outfit can be directed to youth group. Any complaints can be directed to Tony and Ashlyn. And while you're there, make sure you thank them for their generous donation to Amy's trip to Fiji, which made this happen. I can't think of any reason why you might be distracted this morning, but just in case, it'd be really good to have your Bible in front of you open at Exodus. We're actually going to be reading from the end of Exodus chapter 4. I can see myself on the screen. Wow. We're going to be reading from the end of Exodus chapter 4 all the way through chapter 5, which Shirley read out for us, and then chapter 6, and all the way into chapter 7 as well. So it's going to be really helpful to have your Bible open so you can follow along as the story unfolds. I'll pray, then we'll start. Father, thank you so much for saving us through our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for bringing us to know you through your Son. Father, as we read your word this morning, we humbly ask that you would please help us to know you all the more. Amen. Do you ever have doubts? Do you ever have second thoughts about the situation you find yourself in? I don't know, maybe for example, you tried to learn a musical instrument and you started off really confident, things went really well through those first few beginner lessons, but then at some points, after the first few weeks, it started to get a little bit harder and you started to doubt yourself. Is this worth it? Am I ever going to be any good at this? Ever had a doubt like that? Maybe you started a new job. You started with all this optimism and excitement, but a few months in and then you start to be not really sure whether the extra hours are worth the extra pay, and your new boss doesn't actually seem to be any better than your old boss, and you're not sure if it was a good decision. Or maybe you're sitting down at the start of an Ashes series and you're excited to see a 5-0 whitewash, and after 2.5 tests, it all seems to be going really well, and then it all starts falling apart, and you wonder whether defeat might be snatched from the jaws of victory. Have you ever had doubts? What about as a Christian? Do you ever doubt God? Do you ever wonder if trusting God is the right way to live your life? Do you ever have doubts when things get hard in life, like maybe God can't help you or God can't change you? Maybe God can't save you. Maybe even God doesn't love you. And in those times of doubt and struggle, do you look at the world around and all that it has to offer and think, wow, that's pretty convincing. Maybe that's even more impressive than God. Now, if you've ever had any doubts like that, this part of Exodus is going to be really helpful, because in this part of Exodus, Israel, God's people in the Old Testament, Israel have exactly those kinds of doubts about God. Israel, in this section we're going to read, they start really confident, really optimistic. God's made big promises. God's shown himself to be a powerful and personal rescuer who is determined to save them. But then things get hard for Israel and they start to have some doubts. Let's pick it up, the end of chapter 4. Now, just before we do, if you remember last week, God has just sent Moses to rescue his people with a whole bunch of impressive signs, with his brother Aaron to help him. So chapter 4, and have a look at verse 29. So it's just before chapter 5, chapter 4, verse 29. It says, Moses and Aaron went and gathered together all the elders of the people of Israel. Aaron spoke all the words that Yahweh had spoken to Moses and did the signs in the sight of the people. And the people believed. And when they heard that Yahweh had visited the people of Israel and that he'd seen their affliction, they bowed their heads and worshipped. Here's Israel, they're full of optimism. They have heard that God has seen them, that God is going to rescue them. They are excited. When they hear this, they bow down and worship. You'll remember Yahweh, the name there, God's personal name that he used to introduce himself back in chapter 3, where it says Lord in capitals in your Bible. It really says the name Yahweh. They worship Yahweh. Israel are on a high. They believe. At this point, I think that Israel are thinking Moses and Aaron are going to walk up to Pharaoh. They're going to demand that Israel are let go, and Pharaoh's just going to say yes. Thing is, though, he doesn't say yes. And this is where Israel start to have some doubts. Have a look with me at chapter 5. Moses and Aaron went and said to Pharaoh, "Thus says Yahweh, the God of Israel, let my people go, that they may hold a feast to me in the wilderness." But Pharaoh said, "Who's Yahweh that I should obey his voice and let Israel go? I don't know Yahweh, and I will not let Israel go." I genuinely don't think that's the answer Moses and Aaron were expecting. See, in the very next verse, they just ask again. Their confidence has taken a bit of a hit. The second time they ask, they say please, and they're a little less demanding. But again, Pharaoh just says no. In fact, they're asking for Israel to be let go just makes things a whole lot worse because Pharaoh retaliates. Look what he does in verse 6. Verse 6, the same day, Pharaoh commanded the taskmasters of the people and their foremen, "You shall no longer give the people straw to make bricks as in the past. Let them go and gather straw for themselves." See, rather than let them go, Pharaoh actually gives Israel more work to do. And then the foremen, they start getting beaten up because the Israelites aren't making enough bricks anymore. And Israel, at this point, are starting to have second thoughts about trusting God's rescue. Have a look at verse 19. The foremen of the people of Israel saw that they were in trouble when they said, "You shall by no means reduce your number of bricks, your daily task each day." So they met Moses and Aaron, who were waiting for them as they came out from Pharaoh, and they said to them, "Yahweh look on you and judge, because you've made us to stink in the sight of Pharaoh and his servants, and have put a sword in their hand to kill us." The very same day that they walked up to Pharaoh, confident that God would save them, now they're thinking, this hasn't worked at all. All God's plans seem to have fallen in a heap here. Suddenly Israel is suffering much worse even than they were before. Things are not going the way they thought. Where is God's goodness? They're questioning God's goodness and it's coming out in frustration and anger. And in verse 15, you'll see that they feel so let down by Yahweh, they actually stop crying out to God and they start crying out to Pharaoh for help instead. It's not just Israel, it's also Moses and Aaron. Have a look at verse 22. It says, "Then Moses turned to Yahweh and said, 'Oh Lord, why have you done evil to this people? Why did you ever send me? For since I came to Pharaoh to speak in your name, he's done evil to this people, and you haven't delivered your people at all.'" Moses was so full of hope at the start of the day, striding up to meet Pharaoh and demands that Israel be let go. And here he is, by the end of the day, embarrassed and angry and afraid, questioning God's determination to save them, even blaming God. He has lost all confidence. Again, I wonder, does that ever happen to you? In those moments of life when you suffer, hopefully not being enslaved and making bricks, but, you know, physical pain, mental pain, maybe loneliness, maybe you're finding it hard to make friends, or your marriage feels like it's crumbling, work is hard, family is hard, times when we're grieving because we're missing someone, all that hurt and all that heartache, do you ever feel like maybe that's beyond God's help and maybe beyond God's comfort? And you wonder where God's help and God's comfort is. You wonder where God's love is in those moments. Have you ever been disappointed? Disappointed with yourself, disappointed with your own sin, disappointed with how life has turned out for you? You feel like you are missing out on good things that God could give you if you wanted to. Maybe you look around in those moments at the people in your life who don't trust God, and they seem to have it all. And so a life of serving and obeying God seems far less impressive. If you ever have those moments of doubt, spare a thought for Israel, because here they are in God's promise to save them with mighty acts of judgment. You know, just like God's promise that our present suffering won't compare with the glory to be revealed in us. And yet maybe sometimes our present suffering seems to hopelessly overwhelm that promise for the future. It certainly did for God's people in Exodus. So what comes next in chapter 6? It's meant to refresh and re-energize Israel. It's meant to remind them just how determined God is to save them. Have a look at how God answers them in chapter 6, verse 2. Chapter 6, verse 2, God spoke to Moses and said to him, "I am Yahweh. I appeared to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob as God Almighty. But by my name Yahweh, I didn't make myself known to them. I established my covenant also with them to give them the land of Canaan, the land in which they lived as foreigners. Moreover, I've heard the groaning of the people of Israel, whom the Egyptians hold as slaves, and I've remembered my covenant. Say therefore to the people of Israel, I am Yahweh. I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. I will deliver you from slavery to them, and I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with great acts of judgment. I will take you to be my people, and I will be your God, and you shall know that I am Yahweh your God." Now, at one level, what God said here, just a recap of everything that we've already learnt in Exodus so far. God doesn't forget his promises. We've learnt that so far. God is powerful. God is personal. We thought about that. But notice the resolve and the determination in Yahweh's voice here. He says, "I am Yahweh. I appeared. I made promises. I've heard. I haven't forgotten. I will bring you out. I will deliver you. I will redeem you. I will take you. I will be your God. I am Yahweh." You see, God's intent. Nothing has changed in his rescue plan. Nothing has gone off the rails. Not even Israel's complaining, their blaming, their lack of trust. None of that's getting in the way. God is as determined as he ever was. Even when Israel are unlovable and just so quick to lose faith in God, when their faith doesn't even last a day, God's still determined to rescue them, despite them, not because of them. God's answer to their doubts and their questioning of his goodness, his answer is that his commitment to them will be proven in his rescue. And right here, here's the new thing that we learn about God. Remember that Exodus is all about getting to know God, right? All about getting to know God. Here's the new thing that we learn in this section. God is absolutely determined to love and rescue his people. And that will be proven when he does it. So to increasingly invite Israel not to doubt God, God now shows them another aspect of his rescue. And that's part two of God's answer, and it's in chapter 7 now. Turn over to chapter 7. Pharaoh may be powerful, Pharaoh may be confident, but God is so determined to rescue, not even Pharaoh is going to stand in the way. And when God wins, Pharaoh will lose. It's a bit like the football game that was on earlier this week, Australia versus Canada. You might have seen it. Must-win game for one team. Celebration, joy, progressing to the next round. For the other team, heartbreak, bowing out of the tournament. For one to win, another has to lose. And in the showdown between Pharaoh and God, Pharaoh's going to lose. Have a look at chapter 7, verse 2. You shall speak all that I command you, and your brother Aaron shall tell Pharaoh to let the people of Israel go out of his land. But I will harden Pharaoh's heart, and though I multiply my signs and wonders in the land of Egypt, Pharaoh will not listen to you. Then I will lay my hand on Egypt and bring my people, the children of Israel, out of the land of Egypt by great acts of judgment. The Egyptians shall know that I am Yahweh when I stretch out my hand against them. It's worth noticing the contrast between what God says here and what Pharaoh said back at the beginning of chapter 5. At the beginning of chapter 5, Pharaoh said, "Who's Yahweh that I should listen to him?" Here's God, and God says, all of Egypt will know that I am Yahweh. Because God's going to stretch out his hands to redeem Israel, and that same outstretched hand will bring mighty acts of judgment on Egypt. Israel may be losing hope because they think Pharaoh's unstoppable. He's not. God will rescue his people. Pharaoh will be defeated. God's inviting Israel to see he is absolutely determined to do what he has said he will do. And seeing that clearly, hindsight is 20/20, isn't it? You know, you never see something more clearly than when you can look back on it. Israel here, though, they're looking forward to a rescue that hasn't happened for them. But we know the story. The rescue has happened for us. As we read this story in Exodus, God's inviting us to see his determination and commitment. But not just in the Exodus rescue, because all of those things that God said he would do in chapter 6, all of those things God said he would do in chapter 7, reaching out to redeem his people, rescuing them, defeating their enemies, it's all anticipating God redeeming his people from slavery to sin through the death of Jesus. So the Bible's message for us here today, it's not God saying, I will save you, I will redeem you, I will make you my people. It's actually God saying, I have saved you. I have redeemed you. I have made you my people. God doesn't say to us, look what I'm going to do. He says, look what I have done. When we're feeling a bit like Israel did, when the darkness overwhelms, when fears are pressing in, when we're suffering and confused and abandoned, lonely, disappointed, grieving, hearts aching, when we start to doubt God's goodness and feel uncertain of God's love, well, unlike Israel, who were called to look forward to something that hadn't happened, we can look back on something that has. And that's truly remarkable. Romans chapter 8 captures it really, really well. Romans chapter 8 says, he who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? As we look to Jesus, there can be no doubt whatsoever that nothing will stand in the way of God's love for us. There can be no doubt whatsoever that God is good, that God is determined to bring us with Christ into a new creation. There can be no doubt of God's love and commitment to his rescue because to make it happen, he didn't even spare his own son. Christ died for our rescue. God is so committed to keeping his promises, he gave up his own son. Pharaoh starts this section saying, who's Yahweh that I should listen to him? Pharaoh is impressive, Pharaoh is powerful, but in the end, he's God's enemy and he's no match for God. Sin wants us to say, who's Jesus that I should listen to him? But in the end, sin is no match for Jesus. Sin is crushed by Christ at the cross. Now, It is easy to have doubts about God's goodness. It's easy to question his love, especially at those times when sin and evil cause us to feel discouraged. And Israel in the Exodus, their discouragement was so huge, it actually stopped them from hearing God's promises. It stopped them from knowing and trusting God's determination to save them. So when we have doubts, we want to make sure that we don't miss all of the ways that God reaffirms and reminds us of his promises, his determination to save us. Which means for us that when we do have those doubts, we turn first to Jesus. Because in Jesus, God has kept his promises. In Jesus, we see that God is powerful. In Jesus, God has loved us and God does love us. In Jesus, God's defeated sin and death and set us free. In Jesus, we see God is absolutely determined. In Jesus, we see his love for us is indisputable. His care for us is undeniable. Jesus is where we find full confidence in God. God's determination to save us, God's determination to be good to us, God's complete determination to love us, it's proven by his rescue.
Let me pray in response to that lesson this morning. Father God, Yahweh, we thank you that this morning we can look back at what you have done in history, what you have done in our lives, and see your goodness, your power, and your patience. We pray that in our times of doubt and struggle, that your reminder of what you have done in your word that we have heard this morning will give us hope as we look forward. Give us confidence in you and your rescue, so that we may boldly live lives of love and sacrifice for you, eager for your will to be done here as in heaven. In Jesus' name, amen.